From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Republican Jody Heiss, Congressman from the 10th Congressional District of Georgia. An honor to be stepping in hosting for Tony Perkins today as he's spending some much-needed time with his family. He'll be with them throughout the month of August and will be coming back to the microphone in September, but it is an honor to be stepping in for him today. Just by way of introduction, for those of you who are not familiar with me, I graduated from Asbury College. I have a Master of Divinity from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and a doctor seminary. I actually was a pastor for some 25 years before going into Congress. I served as a pastor from churches in Texas to Georgia, and also was a radio talk show host, a conservative talk show host for some 12 years. So it is a great, great honor to be back behind the microphone and very comfortable being here. I've been married to my wife, Dee Dee, for about 36 years now. And we have two daughters and four grandkids. In fact, she is with two of them in Texas as we speak. But what an honor it is to be with you here today. I serve in Congress on the Oversight Committee as well as the Natural Resources Committee. I am also a member of the Bipartisan Congressional Pro-Life Caucus. I'm a part of the Freedom Caucus, the Values Action Team, and the International Religious Freedom Caucus, among other things. And as we get to the program today, let me just kind of lay out for you where we're going to be going. I'm really excited about the direction of the program. Here in just a moment, we will get started by talking with Republican Congressman Mark Green. He just got back, in fact, along with me and several, with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's assessment that the facilities on the borders are like concentration camps. I'm sure you've heard that by now. We'll be talking to Mark about that and other things. On the second segment, we are going to be going to El Paso, as we all have been heartbroken with the news and watching what's happened both in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has sent 13 chaplains to El Paso and 8 to Dayton as part of their rapid response team. They are there to communicate the care, the concern, the love of God. And we will be talking with one of those chaplains, Al New, in El Paso, coming up next. And then at the bottom of the hour, there has been a settlement in California, a school district there, that had a ban on the Bring Your Bible to School Day. We will be talking with Bill Becker. He is the general counsel for Freedom X, and we are looking forward to that. And then in our last segment, we'll be taking calls from you. So it's an exciting program. We encourage you to stay on board. And, of course, you can always learn more and get in touch with Tony on the web at tonyperkins.com and by Twitter at tperkins. All right. At the beginning of July, New York Democrat Socialist Congresswoman AOC, as many of us know her, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she and several others visited the southern border, the Customs and Border Protection facilities there in the El Paso sector, and she reported on what supposedly they witnessed, and they gave that report out to the entire nation. Well, there were many people, Republican Congressman Mark Green, among others, who saw those reports and was deeply disturbed. He decided to go see those facilities for himself and visited them on July 29th. And what he could not imagine was that it was just horrible. And you know, horrible in the sense that the reports coming out were absolutely inaccurate and not true whatsoever. And so we're trying to get Mark on the phone here till he comes in. Let me just I was on that trip with Representative Mark Green, and it's stunning to me how individuals can go and see one thing when in reality a totally different situation is the truth. And let me just give you a kind of a for instance. I mean, AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, actually compared, and I want you to hear this. Many of you have already heard it, but she actually compared the Customs and Border Protection facilities to concentration camps. That is so offensive and so inaccurate, but that was her description. In fact, let me give you an exact quote from a tweet that she put out. She said, quote, "According to concentration camp experts, people began to die due to overcrowding, neglect, and shortage of resources. We saw all three of those signs on our trip yesterday. Another person died yesterday, and those are the deaths we know about," end quote. Now, friends, it is so offensive to me to hear those kinds of descriptions of what's happening with the CBP, our Customs and Border Patrol agents, who are laying their lives on the line day after day for us, trying to protect our borders. And I just have to tell you, Mark Green, again, who we're still trying to reach, he'll hopefully be here with us momentarily. He and myself and about, I believe it was seven others, nine total U.S. representatives went to the southern border just last week. And I can tell you what we saw was totally different. We saw literally garages, kitchens that had been converted to spaces, converted to clinics, converted to storage to help with supplies. We went through the supply rooms. I mean, it is everything from snacks. You had things like Nutri-Grain bars. You had Kool-Aid. You had all sorts of chips and snacks and all this sort of stuff. You had diapers. You had toothpaste, toothbrushes. We went into a facility that was like a miniature Walmart, literally stacked high, far further than you can reach, row after row after row of supplies for these individuals. We saw charts documenting when each individual was last offered a shower or food. Not, you can't force someone to take a shower. You can't force one to eat, but all of them, and it's all documented when they were offered showers, when they were offered food, when they were offered a change of clothes even, and shower and to have their clothes washed. All these types of things, we saw it. There were medical facilities where those with certain transmittable diseases were they were quarantined and cared for. And so that is the reality. Yes, it was overcrowded. And there's a reason for that. It's because people are pouring into our southern border, claiming asylum, claiming to be family units, renting children on the other side of the border, bringing them over here for the purpose of getting here and then claiming to be a family. And by our own laws, once they do that, they must be released within so many hours. And so people have just learned to take advantage of our laws coming into our country. And so, look, all of this, I believe, was an attempt by AOC and others to simply try to make the president look bad. That is the heart of the issue that's been taking place. Let me tell you another thing that I found there that was extremely revealing. The doors are not locked where these people are being held, if you will, detained, where they're allowed sleeping quarters. The doors where they are placed are not locked. And outside the doors are just tons of supplies. At any time, those individuals are allowed totally free to walk out of the place where they are detained, get snacks, get water, get whatever they want, in addition to the three meals a day that they are already given. There is a sink inside the room where they stay that has potable water, drinking water. Every cell, if you will, I don't know the more proper term to describe it other than a cell, a place where these folks are being detained. Every one of these cells has drinking water, a water fountain in it. And the water fountain is attached to the back of the toilet. I actually put out a video on this myself, and I showed here is what AOC was talking about when she said these people are drinking out of toilets. You remember that comment? Was not exactly accurate at all. It's potable water. It's a water fountain that is attached to the toilet. And there is a sink there as well. So it's actually an ingenious setup of how they have these designed, a sink in the toilet and a water fountain all in the same little system, if you will, just to save space. And it's a brilliantly designed. But as it turns out, it appears as though Representative Cortez misunderstood a woman who had a thick Guatemalan accent. In fact, we talked to the border agents while we were there about this very thing, and that's what they said. The woman, and they all are extremely fluid in Spanish, so they were right there hearing the conversation themselves, and they said the woman used a word for bathroom, not toilet. And so she was basically saying people drink from the bathroom, the area over there, and AOC interpreted that as drinking from the toilet. And look, the fact is that it's the source of water, the same source of water that our Border Patrol agents themselves drink out of. But if you don't want to drink out of that, as I mentioned, the doors are open. People are free to come and go. And outside the doors, there's bottled water. There were 5-gallon buckets of Igloo containers, coolers filled with water. And as I said a while ago, along with that, tons of snacks, people able to come and go as they will. And several members of our congressional delegation drank from the water, myself included. It tasted fine. Certainly a lot better than our lead-infused water in the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C., where my office is. But look, these individuals on the southern border, friends, they are being cared for. They have medical attention. They have plenty of food. They're offered showers. They're offered sleeping quarters. In fact, the menu for the hot meals was the same as our soldiers at Fort Bliss, right across town. So, I mean, if the meals are good enough for our soldiers, they're certainly good enough for these illegal immigrants coming across the border. So that is the truth of what's taking place at our southern border. And I was honored, along with Mark Green, and I apologize, I'm not sure exactly what is taking place, why we weren't able to connect with him. But I was extremely honored to be with him and others seeing this on firsthand. There are 9 sectors from California to eastern Texas, 9 sectors on the border. I believe I have now visited 5 or 6 out of the 9 in every case. Listening to Washington Watch, I am Republican Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, guest hosting for Tony Perkins today. Coming up next, in the wake of the 2 horrific mass shootings, we will be talking with a chaplain from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, discussing with boots on the ground what's happening in El Paso. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a moment.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C., and learn how you can too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Republican Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, guest hosting today for Tony Perkins, who's taking some much-needed family time. All right, listen, all of us with shock and disbelief watched over the weekend in less than 24 hours, gunmen open fire on two separate occasions in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, leaving dozens of people dead and injured. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team chaplains deployed to both of those cities on Sunday. I believe at this point the count is 22 individuals who died in the El Paso shooting, and including the gunman, 10 now, I believe, from the Ohio shooting. And joining me now in El Paso, Texas, is Al New. He is one of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team's chaplains on the ground. And just for your awareness, the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team was deployed by or developed by Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association after the 9/11 attacks back in 2001. And since then, it's really grown into an international network of chaplains. They are active in the U.S., in the U.K., Canada, Australia, wherever needed, they seem to be there. And they are trained to deal with crisis situations. And as I mentioned, they have now deployed to more than 300 disaster sites. But right now, in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, Chaplain New is a retired firefighter, is a paramedic and emergency medical services director who lives now in Tennessee. He, along with his wife, Toni, have served as chaplains and a chaplain coordinator with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team since 2005. Chaplain New, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having us on. Appreciate that.
All right, well, let's get right into it. You have an enormous task in front of you now to minister hope to a community that is deeply, deeply hurting. There's family, friends, neighbors facing the unthinkable there in El Paso. Give us a sense of some of the conversations you're already having with people on the ground.
Yeah, we're coming alongside of the whole community as a whole, as well as there have been some family members here at the memorial site that's been made here at the entrance of the driveway for Walmart. We're hearing stories about the loved ones that became victims of the shooter, and just expressing their lives and how nice they were and how they always done for everybody else. And now this has happened to them. But the chaplains have come alongside as a ministry of presence, and we're just loving on them, encouraging them, and praying that God will help them through such as a traumatic event that's going to last with them for many years to come.
I understand there are 13 of you there, part of the Billy Graham Rapid Response team. How do you go about talking with these people?
Well, we have chaplains that we established right there at the memorial site, and they would just simply walk up to those who are at the memorial, introduce themselves, maybe hold their hands, give them a hug. That might be what they need at the moment. And just love on them, just like Jesus would love on anybody else that was hurting. And then we have our mobile ministry unit, which will be arriving later this evening, which will be set up. And this is where they can come inside to this mobile ministry unit and just sit with chaplains and talk with chaplains, express what's on their mind, and the chaplains can administer emotional and spiritual care during that time.
That's awesome. Are you able to put some helpful literature in their hands, like key verses or maybe even the Bible itself?
Oh, we sure do. When our mobile ministry unit gets here, it's fully stocked with all the resources we need to do just as you just stated. If they need a Bible and they don't have one, we give them a Bible. If they're seeking the Lord through this, we'll introduce them to Christ. And then we will work with the local church. If we do have anybody that gives their life to Christ, to follow up with them after we have left the area.
What kind of training do you have to go through to be equipped to speak into the lives of people who, like this, have just been so devastated by such horrific acts of violence? Or in some cases, I'm sure you've been where there's natural disasters, but what kind of background and training do you have to go through to be prepared for this?
Well, you know, you're never truly prepared. You do all you can. But as chaplains, our main goal is that whoever we bring on as a chaplain, that they have a heart of compassion. We take them through what we call the Sharing Hope in Crisis training that was developed by our director, Jack Monday, as well as we ask them to take critical incident stress management courses that are offered. And this is teaching how to approach those who are hurting, the things to say, the things not to say, how to recognize the different phases of grief. And so we have our chaplains do that, but the best chaplain that you can ever be is a chaplain and is a good listener.
Well, you mentioned Jack Monday, the international director. I actually saw a quote from him somewhere that basically he said, in paraphrasing, these people are going through the most horrible time in their lives, and yet God has not forgotten them. And that's really what you are there to try to bring, the awareness of God and his grace, his comfort, his strength at times like this. Is that kind of the heart and soul of the ministry?
That is exactly right. We come alongside them to give them hope through Jesus' name. And that's what we want them to know, that even though they're going through one of the worst times of their lives, that God is still in control. God is still here. And God has sent this army of chaplains here to walk alongside of you as a minister of presence, to love on you, encourage you, and to help you get through these times.
And you work closely with local churches, be it there where you are now in El Paso or in Dayton, Ohio. I'm sure the churches are very much involved.
Yes, we work close to all the local churches as close as we can. Of course, right here in this area of El Paso, a small community. Even the church and the pastors have been affected by this traumatic event.
Wow. All right. Well, how can people get in touch with you? How can people be involved?
Oh, we'd love for them to go to our website at billygraham.org/RRT. They can see everything about us there. They can see how they can help financially by donating. But most of all, for us here in the field in El Paso as well as in Dayton, we would just ask everybody to keep us in prayer as our chaplains come alongside such a hurting community right now.
Chaplain Al New, thank you so much for joining us. God. Washington Watch coming up next. We'll be talking about a reversal of the ban on bring your Bible to school.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, guest hosting for Tony Perkins today, who is on vacation with his family. He'll be returning to the mic in September. All right, a California school district has ended a lawsuit by lifting its ban on Bring Your Bible to School Day. The religious liberty group Freedom X said the settlement will require the district to change its policies and pay some $15,000 for lawyers in the case. Joining me now is Freedom X president and chief counsel Bill Becker to tell us what happened. Bill, thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Congressman, a real pleasure.
Well, listen, it is a pleasure to speak with you. First of all, let's get to the background of this case. How long has there been a Bring Your Bible to School Day, and exactly what is that?
Well, Focus on the Family created the initiative, I believe, around 9 years ago. And the purpose of it was to reverse basic policies on public school campuses where there's this misunderstanding that you can't bring your Bible to school or you can't talk about your faith. So this initiative, started by Focus on the Family, was intended to teach students that they are allowed under the Constitution to bring their Bible to school.
All right, so Focus on the Family started it. Was there some push for this, or did they just out of the blue said this would be a great idea, let's try to get this started? Or was there some tension with students who were trying to take their Bible to school and not being allowed to?
You know, Congressman, you'll have to ask Focus that. They are not my client. My client in this case was a mother with two sons attending a school who simply wanted to participate in the initiative and express their faith that way. When they were told that they couldn't even distribute flyers, the mother had the good sense to reach out.
Okay, so we're talking one particular school district, is that correct?
That's right, in Orange County in Huntington Beach.
Okay, do you have any idea how many students? I know you're representing one, but do you have any idea overall how many students participate in this?
No, again, Congress, that's a question better asked to Focus. The My role in this is simply to vindicate the constitutional right of those aggrieved. And in this case, it was these two children who have no affiliation with Focus on the Family. This initiative is something right. that they simply wanted to participate in. So but I can tell you that this is a nationwide initiative. It's been going on for several years, and it needs to be exposed more and more, especially on public school campuses in California, where the LGBT agenda and the pro-Islam agenda are so prominent.
Can you get into who objected to this, and what was their legal reason for objecting?
Well, initially, one of the boys was allowed to distribute, but then a teacher spotted him and called him over and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm just handing out these flyers." She said, "You need the permission of the principal before you can do that." So it escalated up to the principal. Constance Polhemus was her name. And the principal said, "No, this is a public school. You can't distribute anything with religious content," which is exactly the opposite of what the Constitution permits. So he brought it to his mother's attention. His mother wrote to the principal and said, "You know, we're very respectful of the rules there, but this is an initiative that we believe we're allowed to participate in. And, oh, by the way, here's a legal analysis that Alliance Defending Freedom, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, prepared." And the analysis, and by the way, I'm an allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom and have been for 15 years. So when she presented the principal with this sound legal argument, the principal ignored it and dug her heels in. So ADF referred the case to me, as they have in the past, and I quoted that analysis in the complaint. But ultimately, I think
Yeah, it's so important that students understand they do not throw away their First Amendment right just because they're in a public school. And I just thank you for taking the stand, you and ADF, with this. You know, it can be very intimidating when an authority figure like a principal or a teacher tells a student that they've done something wrong, even if they have not done anything wrong.
Well, and I think the hero here is the mother, and there aren't enough parents who are paying attention to their children's rights or doing something about it. In fact, it's very common that parents don't want to make waves, and they don't want to see any retaliation against their children. They just want to see their kids graduate and move on. So in this case, you had a mother who cared enough to make change, and she was able to do that.
So what's the new policy going to allow?
New policy is already in place, and it specifically and explicitly states that religious expression is permitted and that it is as protected under our Constitution as secular speech. And if I could add our website, Your Honor, Congressman, it's freedomxlaw.com in case anybody wants to do what this mother did.
Bill Becker, thank you so much for a great job. We appreciate you joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia, guest hosting for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, we'll be taking your calls, 866-FRC-RADIO, and hopefully we'll get Mark Green on the call with us as well. Stay tuned.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically, This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christian's call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia filling in for Tony Perkins today, and an honor to be behind the chair. Let me just say this before we enter into this last segment. There is no one, no group in Washington, D.C., that does a more effective job of holding forth the Judeo-Christian principles than does Family Research Council and Tony Perkins. And I just want to say that publicly, that we deeply love and appreciate him. And I encourage, first of all, I appreciate all of your support and your prayers for him and FRC. And those of us who are in Congress just say to you, please keep it up and help in every way that you can. Social media, frc.org, you know that. You can find Tony on Twitter, at T. Perkins. And by the way, you can find me on Twitter, at Congressman Heiss, and Heiss is spelled H-I-C-E. All right, let's go back. We had a little mix-up earlier on the program with Representative Mark Green, Congressman Mark Green from Tennessee, and we now have him on the line, so I'm going to take a break. Let me just say this, too. We hope to get to your questions. If you have a question for me, it's 866-FRC-RADIO, 866-FRC-RADIO. That is 866-372-7234. All right, Mark Green, glad to have you joining us.
Thanks, Coach. Glad to be on the show, and sorry about the mix-up earlier.
Hey, no problem. Listen, we already covered a lot of that, you and I, among other representatives were on the Codel to the southern border, and you in particular were just really pushed to the limit on some of the remarks from AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Give us some of your initial thoughts and what you saw on the border.
Well, there were several, you know, great takeaways from that trip. Number one, of course, was just the awesome work that CBP and ICE are doing on the border. And you know, they need our support. They need our recognition, our respect, and our devotion. I think the second one is just the shocking, you know, how our asylum laws are really driving this issue and the failure of Congress to fix that. For example,
give an example.
Well, sure, absolutely. So the child has a visa. we were told by ICE when we visited down there that 30% of the families that are coming across with children are fraudulent families, meaning that child has either been rented or kidnapped or has nothing to do with the people who are claiming them as their children. And that's just horrific. So those asylum laws have got to be fixed. It's crazy. Because essentially what's happening, and this is what I say, Jody, I say 30, 60, 90. So 30% are fraudulent families. Of those that do have a legitimate child, they're immediately released. They're not even held for any time. Once it's confirmed that it's their child, they're immediately released. Only 60% of them will show up for a court date 2 or 3 years from now.
Wow.
And of the 60% that show up, 90% of those will get a court order saying they need to leave the country. It doesn't qualify as political asylum, their request. So it's just 30, 60, 90. Those are the numbers to remember. And then the third thing that I took away was just the audacity of the left to drive a Mack truck right over the truth. What we saw was potable water in a sink. And, talking to the CBP agents who were in the room when AOC was there, you know, they heard in a Guatemalan dialect that the woman said she drank out of the bathroom. And I don't know about you, Jody, but I go in my bathroom all the time and get a cup of water out of the sink. And that's exactly what this woman was doing. Of course, AOC heard toilet, and immediately the liberal lying media took off with that. And that became the narrative. But the truth was, great facilities. I mean, at the ICE facility, the dietitian is the same dietitian who takes care of the menus for the chow halls on Fort Bliss, Texas. Meaning that the people in the ICE detention facility are getting fed the same menu as our soldiers on Fort Bliss, Texas. If it's good enough for our soldiers, it's certainly good enough for people who are illegally coming into our country, breaking our laws. So I am, those are probably the three biggest takeaways for me.
Great points, Mark. Now, you mentioned the accusation that people were being forced to drink out of the toilet, which was totally false. I mean, you and I drank out of the same water fountain right there on the toilet. We did it ourselves. But what about the comments from AOC about these facilities are like concentration camps?
Well, she needs to go visit Auschwitz, and she probably ought to go tour the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, as class president of the freshman class, we set up a visit for the freshman class to go to the Holocaust Museum, and AOC didn't dare, she didn't even show up. So, but she needs to go and see what a concentration camp really is. What these are, they are detention facilities. I mean, we're detaining people, making sure that they don't have communicable diseases before they come into the country. They are confirming that they're not, MS-13 gang members and all that stuff. So they have to detain them to do these, processes. But they're very comfortable. They're air conditioned. They get showers. I mean, it's absurd to suggest.
Are the doors locked?
Yes. No, the doors, they're not locked. They are not locked. They can come and go. There's water, there's snacks. It's to suggest that it's a concentration camp is absurd.
It is, and I asked that question just out of the blue because I mentioned that myself, that one of the things that I frankly had not even thought about till I was there was the reality that the doors were not locked where these people are sleeping, and they are totally free to leave at any time to get snacks, get diapers, toothpaste, toothbrushes, water, whatever, on the outside of the rooms. And yet the impression that we were given from AOC and others are these concentration camps. These people are crammed in there. They're not allowed to move about. They're not allowed any freedoms or liberty whatsoever. And that simply is not the truth at all.
Not at all. I mean, and I love the, basically saying they're taking the truth and just driving right over. That total disregard for what is truth. It's very frustrating.
Well, Mark Green, I want to say thank you so much for joining us again on Washington Watch. I know you've been on here a number of times, and in behalf of Tony, thank you for joining us again. We appreciate it very, very much, and for all you do, your tremendous leadership in Congress, I and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of others say thank you so much for standing in the gap.
Thanks, Jody, and thanks for your leadership, and please send my best to Tony and the crew at FRC.
Will do. Thank you so much. All right, Jody Heiss from Georgia, congressman from Georgia, is sitting in today for Tony Perkins. We are going to try to get some questions right now. Again, the phone number, if you'd like to call in, 866-FRC-RADIO, 866-FRC-RADIO. That, numerically speaking, is 866-372-7234. Let's go, first of all, to Daniel in Baton Rouge.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Daniel. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, sir, for your leadership service. And I just want to support you in Georgia. And, you know, those pro-life bills, I'll support your understanding. May I ask a question about the recent spending bill that...
Sure.
The debt ceiling. Yes, sir. Is that already through? I'm sorry if I don't completely know. I know President Trump signed it, and is it a done deal?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, done deal. And, you know, I appreciate your call, Daniel, and I appreciate your concern with this. You know, at some point, we have got to get serious with the spending habit in this country, and I'll just be straight with you. There are two groups who have a great addiction to spending in this country, and those groups are Democrats and Republicans. I cannot get away. It's coming from both sides of the aisle, and there is absolutely an addiction with spending in Washington, D.C., and the mindset seems to be that money grows on trees and we can spend. The spending bill you are referring to adds an additional $320 billion to an already enormous deficit. I mean, we all know we're looking at a debt of $22 trillion already. This spending bill adds $320 trillion, and in addition to that, lifts the caps for 2 years on the debt ceiling. So unlimited debt ceiling for the next 2 years. Like, what in the world are we thinking here? We have got to be able to deal with the spending issue in Washington, and I appreciate you having a pulse on that. All right, let's go now to Joe in Ohio. Joe, glad to have you with us today on Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for your guest. Very good guest today. And I share your previous caller's frustration with the rhinos who keep spending and spending, and when they get on the campaign trail, they just always talk about cutting, but they never do. My question for you or your previous guest was, if they show up at the border, an adult with a child, and they do a DNA test, and it's not a match, the adult is not the parent of the child, why couldn't they or why wouldn't they charge that person with human trafficking or kidnapping or child abduction? Why wouldn't they charge them right then and there when they realize that's not their child? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Great question. And I'm not being an attorney or someone on the border of expertise in those type of legal matters, I can't give you a specific answer. But I will say this. Right off the bat, the DNA testing has not been used very much. It is just now beginning to be introduced with some degree of expansiveness what I've been told from now various visits to the border and talking with different Border Patrol agents and those who are involved with ICE and so forth, the expense is one thing, and the sheer numbers of people who have been coming across the borders have been prohibiting the, just from a financial perspective, the ability to do DNA testing on all these people. And so it's been kind of random tests at this point, but we have been able to determine, as Mark Green said a few moments ago, that the 30% of these folks who are coming over are not family at all. 30%, that's a huge number. And yet, by our existing law, we must let them go because they're a family unit. And so, literally, friends, I'm telling you, what's happening on the southern border on this issue, and I so appreciate you bringing this up, because kids are being trafficked. They are rented, literally being rented on the Mexican side of the border. They are given to some adult who comes across the border via cartels, and understand the cartels rule literally every square inch of our southern border. No one comes into this country without paying the cartels. It just doesn't happen. So the cartels get their $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for these people to cross the border. They are given a child that they come across, and the adult with child in hand, frequently a small child who really can't speak very well. The adult says, "It's my child," and we end up having to let them go. The cartels in the U.S. side of the border or make arrangements for the child to be shipped cross back across the border, and it goes on and on and on. I do see hope that the DNA testing is going to increase significantly, and hopefully we'll be able to get much more consequences for those who are breaking the law coming over here, but those who likewise, as you said so precisely, are trafficking children in the process to get here. That's got to come to an end. Thank you for your call. Let's go now to Carla in Oklahoma City.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Carla. Thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Yes, I have a question. Did the House Bill 5, the Equality Act, was that passed or is it still in the Senate?
It's still in the Senate, as I understand it. That's going to have some difficulty moving forward. Let me pause there and see what else you have. I've got some more comments to say about it, but what further question do you have?
Well, I was just going to say that, that was it. I wanted to know if it passed. And then I did write the representative, his name slips my mind, that introduced the bill, and did a little background check on him and found that he is from Rhode Island and was at one time the mayor of Providence. So my mind went to Roger Williams, who had fled to Providence many, many years ago for religious freedom. And so I put that in the letter and stated that if he had been a representative at that time, he would never have been the mayor of Providence because Providence would not be. And also I said, did you know that another name for Providence is God, and that you are in essence fighting against God and that you won't win? And I said that you can stop the Christians and stop the churches, but you cannot stop the principles of God, which the Christians follow. It's God is the author. So I have not received a reply, and I don't know if I will. But
Carla,
anyway.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time and effort to write a letter, and the points that you bring up spot on. And yes, I think you just answered. I was curious if you received a reply.
No, not yet. I sent it last week.
Well, listen, I want to thank you. I want to thank all the listeners of Washington Watch for being among the most informed people in America as it relates to staying on top of what's happening in our country and the attacks against our Judeo-Christian values. Thank you for being aboard. Thank you for being on top of it and engaged with what's going on. And I will mention, Carla, what I was going to say is that what we are watching right now is the Democrats putting up one radical bill after another after another. It's a messaging opportunity for them. Many of these bills are not going anywhere in the Senate, and if they did, they would never be signed by the president. But they are messaging who they are, radical, radical to the left. All right, friends, thank you so much. Jody Heiss with you. It's been an honor sitting in for Tony Perkins. Again, you can get in touch with him, frc.org, T. Perkins for Twitter. Have a fantastic remainder of your day. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.